Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Hey, we got a great show lined up for you here today. Coming up later this morning in the 9 o'clock hour of the show, Speaker of the House Brandon Lear, Montana Speaker of the House Brandon Lear out of Savage, is going to join us kind of with a midterm update. You know, even when the legislature is out of session, there is still a lot of work being done in Helena with interim committees and things like that. So we're going to get an interim update from the Speaker of the Montana House here in about 2 hours. Right now, though, great to have David Noble back with us here on Montana Talks every Thursday. David, how you been? Great to have you back on the show.
It's great to be back. Great. Thanksgiving was great. We've all got so much to be thankful for. You know, I'll be interested to hear what House Speaker Brandon Lear says about the Yellowstone County Republicans here. We just put forth those names to replace Representative Bill Mercer, who's now on the federal bench. Already hearing casings, apparently, too. But I saw Speaker of the House Brandon Lear had put out a statement in support of a Stacey's Inn replacing Bill Mercer. And, of course, I'm on the Yellowstone County Republican Central Committee and was happy to see Stacey's Inn get appointed.
Yeah, what a great pick for Stacey's Inn, the former head of the DEA here in Montana and a current vice chair of the Montana GOP. But, first off, it's great to have Bill Mercer on the federal bench. Man, we desperately need these Trump-appointed judges. They've got one more pick for Billings that we're still waiting to hear about. Maybe after the first of the year we'll get some news on that front. But Stacey's Inn to fill out his term is just going to be incredible. We got a great phone call from Grandpa Lou at the end of the 8 o'clock hour yesterday, and I didn't get a chance to weigh in with my thoughts as well, but what a resource she will be even during the interim here with her expertise and background in the DEA, et cetera.
Yep, I agree. And also can't wait to hear about who Trump chooses as the next federal judge here in Montana.
Yeah. This is kind of funny. We got a message on the Montana Talks app from Right On John. He says he's listening in Los Angeles. But Right On John says, did you miss that Rush Limbaugh used to call Joe Biden plugs? He called him Plugs Biden regarding his hair. Oh, no, that's why I was laughing, Right On John. David, I don't know if you heard, I played a soundbite from Joe Biden in 1989 talking about going after the narco terrorists. But look at the way the Democrats are trying to trash Trump for doing that very thing.
Oh, I know. And it is hilarious that Joe Biden has more hair now than he did in the 1980s. That was a hilarious comment. You know, and I see so much stuff online about, you know, people and men so obsessed with plugs, getting hair plugs, or going to Turkey for hair implants, or taking this drug or that drug, and all this stuff. And it's like, you know, it always just makes me think, you know, maybe if we didn't spend so much time working on our outward appearances and we spent a little bit more time working on our inner self, that we'd all probably be better off.
Yeah, I've heard there's incredible new technology when it comes to hair stuff, even at the local level in places like Billings. But it's a very good point about, you know, focusing more on the outward self than on the inner self. What a great thought to chew on here as we head into this quick news break. All right, David Noble. Of course, David's got such a great head of hair. Easy for him to say, right?
Right.
Although he's trimmed it back a little bit here in recent weeks, I think. All right, stand by. More to follow. We'll get to your phone calls as well.
My mom has decided to learn to paint, and she's good.
And that's now into creative cuisine, and I've already put on 6 pounds.
Learning new things comes with age.
My mom, she started forgetting my name and what we're talking about.
Forgetting well-known things doesn't. Memory loss may be a sign of Alzheimer's disease. Early detection gives you and your loved one time to plan for the future. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Tackling the issues that shape our state, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I don't think I checked the Billings Gazette website yet here this morning. David Noble and I were talking about a KTVQ story, and I was like, oh, yeah, I don't think I checked their website yet this morning. I just popped onto the opinion page for the Billings Gazette. Higher premiums are a bad deal for small business across Montana. And, David, I haven't even clicked this this guest opinion column yet, but I would almost bet money that this is going to be a piece written by a bunch of Democrats trying to justify the Obamacare subsidies. But in reality, what they're doing is telling everybody how awful Obamacare is.
It's pure gaslighting, Aaron. It angers me so much. It's like, you Democrats, you guys destroyed our healthcare system. Go all the way back to Lyndon B. Johnson, the Democrat president Lyndon B. Johnson and his great society and Medicare and Medicaid. Go back, and if you look, if you study our medical system, if you study our healthcare system, the 1960s, the creation of Medicare and Medicaid with Lyndon B. Johnson, the Democrat, that's the beginning of the end for the American healthcare system. And then these Democrats from the 60s all the way up through to Obamacare got every little wish they wanted on federal regulation and federal laws on our healthcare and our health insurance industry. They've destroyed the healthcare. They've destroyed the health insurance. It's completely unaffordable. The quality of service is going down. It's absolutely terrible. And then they have the gall to go on and blame Republicans for these rising premiums and nobody can. It really angers me, Aaron. I'm having a hard time keeping my anger under control.
I hear you. They once again, the arsonist is coming in to our house complaining that the house is on fire. But they're the ones who set the freaking house on fire here. That's what they do time and time again. All right, we got Tom in Billings in the house on the phone lines right now, weighing in on the narco terror strikes. Tom, what's your thoughts? Thanks for calling in.
Well, good morning, Aaron. As a former senior chief in the U.S. Coast Guard, back in 1989, we didn't have missiles or anything like that. We used a Hitron system, which was focused on the interdiction of drug trafficking boats. We pretty much leveled these boats with a 50-caliber mounted machine gun on our H-65 helos, and it's nothing different. Because they're using drones and Peak Hegseth didn't see anything, that's not on him. We are still do not want these drugs in this country. I mean, I spent 6 months doing D7 patrols out of Florida on interdiction boats with helo coverage with the Hitron system, and we didn't have missiles and we didn't have drones because the technology wasn't there. But the same mission is still there. We do not want drugs in this country.
What a great point. What a great phone call, Tom. Thanks for the call, David. Yeah, that's a great point there by Tom and Billings. You know, I think about it, you know, the 50 cal. I'll bet you they weren't told, well, you can only fire one shot with the 50 cal, because if you fire a second shot with the 50 cal, we're going to charge you with war crimes, which is what the Democrats are trying to argue about Admiral Bradley right now, for Pete's sake.
Well, and honestly, the way that these drug cartels operate in the ocean, I mean, a lot of times they'll purposefully put the drugs into the ocean and just have them float there. And so, I mean, I saw some headlines about how these, you know, the Trump administration hit these drug boats and then, you know, oh, everybody's mad that they hit them a second time when there's some, like, you know, drugs are floating in the ocean. Some guys are floating in the ocean. It's like, well, we don't even, I mean, that drug boat could have been one of these ones that they're just about to drop the drugs in the ocean anyway. And if any of those guys survive, all they have to do is, you know, send whatever message to the other boat that's going to pick up the drugs in the middle of the ocean and bring them in. So, but I will say, Aaron, I am a little bit, I'm a little bit torn on this whole issue because, number one, I do think that the Trump administration designating these groups as terrorists, I think that's probably being used. He's probably utilizing the Patriot Act for all line some of these post 9/11 laws. I think some of those did go too far in terms of surveillance and things like that. And you know, we can designate the, you know, Trump can designate the narco terrorists as terrorists now and start killing them. The bigger concern is, who are the Democrats? The Democrats could designate oil companies as terrorists and start blowing up oil tankers in the ocean. I mean, the precedent, I am a little bit concerned about the precedent and how far this goes. And if we ever let Democrats get into power, how they're going to use this type of a power. I mean, would you put it past them to designate, you know, oil companies as terrorists and start using the U.S. military to blow up oil companies? I mean, I don't know what these Democrats would do.
Well, although I would say, I forget who made this point. that if the Republicans never do certain things because, well, what if the Democrats take this law or take this power to then do something else? The Democrats are always going to do that. And so the Republicans need to deliver for the American people. They need to get the job done. They need to. Because to me, this is a look, I get some of our listeners and they're like, I don't want to hear about Venezuela. I want to hear about America. I want to hear about Montana. But this is a local crime story. These are the narco terrorists bringing these drugs and killing Americans, killing Montanans. And so to me, it's a local crime story. Speaking of local crime stories, you were telling me about this one during the break here. This is a local Montana story. It's a Billings story that KTVQ has on their website right now. Billings residents suspect Wi-Fi jammers are being used for car break-ins to disable cameras. So, David, I'd be interested in hearing your take on this story. 10 seconds, what would you share with our listeners as the teaser before the break?
Well, the main thing I would say is if you're ever searching on your phone or your computer for Wi-Fi signals and you know that there should be Wi-Fi signals there and you can't find anything, well, there's probably a criminal around getting into cars.
Very interesting. All right, hold that thought. We'll start with that story right after this.
This is the time.
This is House Call for Health. If you're having trouble sleeping, you might consider turning to the age-old practice of Tai Chi for some relief. Tai Chi is a traditional Chinese mind-body exercise that involves slow, flowing movements, deep breathing, and focused attention. Researchers at Hong Kong University conducted a study of 200 Chinese adults ages 50 years and older who'd been diagnosed with chronic insomnia. The study found after 15 months, participants who used Tai Chi regularly had fewer problems falling asleep. Other research has also shown long-term use of Tai Chi improves sleep quality, increases total sleep time, and reduces the amount of time it takes to get to sleep. Unrelated to those studies, the CDC suggests creating a good sleep environment. Make your bedroom dark by using room darkening shades or heavy draperies, and also keep the room quiet, cool, and comfortable. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Thank you for...
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
As Tyson Foods plans to close a Nebraska beef plant, sending shockwaves through the state, dubbed the Beef State, the company plans to lay off over 3,200 workers when the plant winds down in mid-January. The Lexington, Nebraska plant handles an estimated 5,000 head a day and is located near several large feedlots. David Jobman is chairman of the Dawson County Cattlemen's Association and said at first he thought it was a joke, but quickly learned it was no laughing matter.
Yeah, as a cattle producer here in Dawson County, I'm just in shock along with everybody else. I'm sure the decision was not made lightly, but yeah, that's going to have a huge impact that's going to ripple across the communities around here. Pretty good area that was bringing fattened cattle to Lexington for slaughter, and now you're going to have to find other markets, and added transportation costs are certainly going to be a factor in decision in that.
Nebraska's cattle on feed numbers remain solid, and local leaders in the community, many of whom raise cattle, would like to see the plant continue running under new ownership but face a number of hurdles to do so. And more than 270 leaders from across the dairy industry gathered last week for the 2025 Dairy Sustainability Alliance fall meeting, highlighting how collaboration drives progress. The event highlighted the new 2023 through 24 U.S. Dairy Sustainability Report, tracking progress in well-being, environmental stewardship, and animal and community care. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, this is just good TV news. This is just good local TV journalism and reporting here, it looks like. Thanks to David Noble for highlighting this story here. Billings residents suspect Wi-Fi jammer used in car break-ins to disable cameras. Mac Carmack has that story at KTVQ.com here this morning. David, what's your take? What stood out to you?
Well, first of all, I do appreciate Matt Carmack. She does do some of these good local stories every once in a while. I always pay attention to these stories that, you know, it's similar to that one where, remember that one, Aaron, where it was like, hey, pay attention to your DoorDash drivers. You know, there's a lot of gangs that have DoorDash drivers, and they're using the DoorDash deliveries to basically scope out homes for potential crimes. I mean, that's really good stuff for your listeners to be aware of. And same with this one. It's basically what they're doing is they're using Wi-Fi jammers to disable cameras, because a lot of these security cameras are run on Wi-Fi. Including, I don't know if it's front door cameras or other types of cameras and things like that. But if you use a Wi-Fi jammer, apparently, you know, cut these things down, and then they're able to get into vehicles without the cameras catching them. And front door, they've got a picture of a front doorbell camera here. So some of those are Wi-Fi, and they can sort of jam those as well. So, I mean, I think the takeaway is if you're sitting there on your phone or your computer at home and all of a sudden, you know, you lose Wi-Fi and you go into your phone or computer and you can't find any Wi-Fi, like, go outside, look around, see what's going on, because there may be somebody with a Wi-Fi jammer breaking into vehicles close by.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. So basically, yeah, the young woman that they quoted in this story, so they were talking about a rash of break-ins of vehicles in the Blue Creek Road area of Billings, and she said that, well, she has wired cameras that don't operate on Wi-Fi, so that's why she was able to pick up these thieves. But she said it was very interesting that nobody else in the neighborhood, their Wi-Fi cameras were not able to, or their security cameras were not able to pick any of these up. I know some security systems, they operate both on Wi-Fi and with another backup hardwire, so, you know, phone connection or something like that as well. So I wonder if that would be helpful for people that do have security, you know. But a lot of people will just have, like, you know, a camera on their front door that they got at the store versus a professional security firm doing their security, right? So I could see where those might get disabled. But whereas if you have, you know, a professional security service that has a backup to the Wi-Fi on top of it, I wonder if that would still be good in this situation. But yeah, no, very, very helpful information here.
Yeah, and they're saying, the sort of article concludes by saying, you know, don't keep valuables in your car, and be sure to lock your vehicle up and all this stuff. And it kind of reminds me of how people have to deal with the crime in some of these blue cities on the East Coast and the West Coast, in terms of, you know, you never leave visible, you know, valuables in your car because your windows will get smashed out. It's a far cry, Aaron, from, you know, Manhattan, Montana in the 90s, when nobody would lock their doors to their house. Nobody would even take the keys out of their ignition. If you went to the Manhattan High School parking lot in the 90s, I'd say 80%, 90% of the vehicles in that parking lot were unlocked with their keys in the ignition. And anybody that rode their bikes, nobody locked up their bikes. I mean, what a world that we've come from and turned into. Pretty sad.
I love the point that you made. It was ahead of the state football Class B championship game, which, by the way, Manhattan won, right? You're a Manhattan kid, but I remember you said you could always tell where the kids were at in the neighborhood because all the bikes would be piled up out front on the front lawn. Because, yeah, as a kid on the High Line, it was the same thing. It was just like, man, we just cruised around all the time, and people would just throw their keys. They'd either leave them in the ignition or throw them right on the dashboard, and you'd have a gun in the gun rack in the back window, right? And and everything would be fine. Getting some messages on the Montana Talks app here, going back to Obamacare. And yeah, David, I looked at that guest opinion column in the Billings Gazette, and of course it's three liberals who are basically trying to prop up the COVID subsidies of Obamacare, because Obamacare is such a mess. I posted on X the other day that, isn't it interesting how Montana Democrats have these conflicting messages about Obamacare? Obamacare sucks. We need subsidies. But then the executive director of the Montana Democrat Party was basically wrote a guest opinion, you know, saying how much he loves Obamacare. Good man.
Yeah, no, I mean, a lot of people would, they probably do love Obamacare because it's working exactly as they originally planned, which is to crash and destroy our healthcare and health insurance system. And so that then it's the classic situation. The Democrats destroy something, the government destroys something, and then they come in and they say, hey, more government will fix it. It's insane. I mean, it's pathological thinking to think that the government could fix our healthcare or health insurance industry by doing anything other than repealing laws. Now, the government actually could fix it by undoing what it's done, by repealing all of the federal laws and regulations, of course, but I mean, this really, really pathological to have the government destroy something and then to think that the government should be the one to fix it.
That's exactly what Mom Donnie did. Do it here with our friend David Noble in the house every Thursday in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. Yeah, Tim and Savage sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. He looked at that same editorial that I looked at. He points out they even say right in that editorial, we know the ACA is not perfect. Yeah, so Tim, they're basically admitting that the ACA, the so-called Affordable Care Act, they're admitting it's a train wreck there because it's so unaffordable that they need COVID-era subsidies to continue. John and Bozeman also sent us this, David. Good morning, Aaron and David. I'm recollecting off of memory here, but didn't John Tester's vote on Obamacare have a very important place for the outcome to push the Affordable Care Act over the finish line? Yeah, John Tester was
twice, actually.
Yeah, twice. He was the deciding vote. If John Tester was not in the United States Senate and if there was a Republican there instead, we would not have had Obamacare.
Yeah, so he was the deciding vote when it first passed, and then he was also the deciding vote to keep it. When, the infamous, John McCain switching his vote up, when John McCain did that, that was during the first Trump administration and we were trying to repeal Obamacare at the time. And John McCain sort of switched his vote to save Obamacare by one vote. But that just sort of kind of tells you, well, if that was a one vote deal in the Senate that John McCain, obviously John Tester could have changed his vote on that to repeal Obamacare as well. So, it's really unfortunate, Aaron, when you're sitting here in Montana and we've got a healthcare system and health insurance system that's been completely destroyed. Nobody can afford it. The quality's going down. It's destroying our pocketbooks, et cetera, et cetera. And the unfortunate reality is Montana's partly responsible for that because we sent John Tester to D.C. so many times.
Well, and we had Max Baucus there as chair of the Finance Committee who allegedly wrote Obamacare but then was in Libby and admitted that he hired staff to do that, that he never even read the bill that he was taking credit for writing. I mean, both Baucus and Tester, what a couple of train wrecks. And then Baucus sold us out to the communist Chinese. And David, some people might be saying, okay, we don't care about John Tester. He lost the election. He's out. I get it. But David, this is why we need to remind people of this, is because the Democrats are going to come up with another fake, phony moderate. Well, I'm a farmer. I'm a rancher. Oh, I'm a veteran. They're going to come up with whatever fake, phony moderate, some D-list actor to run for Congress or to run for something else. And people need to see right through it and say, no, we saw you fake, phony moderates with John Tester. We're not falling for that garbage ever again.
Oh, I think that's right, Aaron. But I mean, it's also a policy issue too. And I mean, that's why when I talk about this stuff, I mean, I'll bring up the fact that this is the Democrats' fault and, all of this sort of stuff. But really it's a policy issue of the federal government getting its regulatory fingers into every little aspect of our healthcare and health insurance industry and system. And that's what's causing the price to go up and causing all of these ridiculous things that the providers have to do and all excess paperwork that's costing everybody a bunch of money. But so that's what it is it's a policy issue. And it doesn't matter who the Democrats put up, if it's John Tester or if it's Nancy
Pelosi. Or anybody else.
Micro Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I don't know if David Noble's got a woke update of the week for us or a Trump W of the week. I'm going to go with the Trump W of the week is these CAFE standards and President Trump saving the U.S. automobile industry. For the woke update of the week, I know there was like two or three things that caught my eye, but off the top of my head, I'm going to go with Sabrina Carpenter. We'll get to those stories here in a second, plus see what David might have for us as well. But David, first, oh, man,
apparently you were listening in. Wasn't that just hilarious on Tuesday when we were talking about there was no hurricanes this year, apparently. Apparently no big hurricanes this year. And, you know, like John Jackson and I were talking about it yesterday, and he made a great point. I thought we're always supposed to have really bad hurricane seasons because of climate change.
Yeah, that was fantastic. The most upsetting thing about that was that I didn't think of it. I didn't think of that point. That's a good point.
You got beat to the punch, yeah.
I mean, when I lived, I guess, being a Montanan, growing up in Montana, frankly, I never knew when the hurricane season was until I went to law school down in Miami and I started realizing, okay, the hurricane season is basically sort of late summer, early fall. It's, you know, August, September time period. And so, yeah, we just passed through that. And, yeah, I don't remember any, you know, hurricanes. Of course, it used to be that we were supposed to, you know, it used to be global warming was going to cause a massive amount of hurricanes, and they were going to be much stronger because there's the, you know, the way hurricanes work is the warmer the water, the warmer the air, you know, the more evaporation you get and the stronger the hurricanes are. And so that was the whole theory. Well, then, you know, it's not just this year, Aaron. It's not just this year that's been low on hurricane numbers and low on hurricane intensity. But there's been lots of years where you know, this hasn't played out. So then they switch it to climate change, and now it's no longer just, you know, more intense and, you know, bigger hurricanes. But now it's the location of the hurricanes. It's all these other changes. It's not just, you know, it's just constantly changing.
Excuses. I've heard excuses are like, well, everybody's got one, right? Everybody's got an excuse. But speaking of the Hopi climatey changey stuff, I just checked out the Unleashed Prosperity Hotline. This is just hilarious. This could almost double as a woke update of the week as well. Massachusetts violates its own clean air rules. New England Public Media has a story about how Massachusetts state agencies failed to submit their vehicle emissions reports, raising oversight concerns. They don't even buy into the garbage they're dumping onto the private sector because they don't even follow it in the public sector.
Well, it's really hilarious because all this stuff all tied together, Aaron, and it's all tied together because you've got the CAFE standards, which were originally about global warming and trying to reduce how much gasoline we burn. And by the way, I'm just seeing so much on social media about how excited people are to have the freedom to buy a vehicle that they want to buy and not have some bureaucrat or Democrat in Washington, D.C. tell us out here in Montana what kind of truck we can buy and what size it can be and how many miles per gallon it's got to have and all that stuff. So that's huge. But then you've got Europe that's destroyed its economy. Meanwhile, China and India are just going, you know, crazy with developing new forms of energy that are putting out lots of CO2. And then you've got, all the lack of hurricanes. You've got that Bill Gates story that we talked about last week. It's all sort of coming together. And one of the foundational reasons that Democrats use to justify why they want to implement socialism and communism is failing before our eyes. And people are realizing this was a scam from day one. The biggest sign that this was a scam was when the Democrats told you the only way to solve global warming is give Democrats more of your money and more power. It's been a scam from day one, Aaron.
And buy a bunch of crap from China. And let China burn all the CO2 they want, but you can't burn CO2 in America. Yeah, exactly. The other story that I wanted to get David's take on here is this also is in the Unleash Prosperity Hotline. Europe's Green Economic Suicide Pact. Wait till you hear some of these numbers about how Europe has just destroyed their economies over their, you know, fossil fuel reductions, green energy mandates, et cetera. First, though, let's go to another caller on the phone lines. We've got Ken in Billings hitting us like a hurricane. What's going on, Ken?
Well, I'm just driving along, and I was sitting there thinking, you know, you don't see the chemtrails or the chemtrails that you did prior to the shutdown, and I'm wondering if that's why there's no hurricanes, you know. I mean,
We saw them during the shutdown. We saw the contrails during the shutdown. So, because I remember Goose and Anaconda, he's always fired up when he sees a contrail in the sky. And I'm like, well, somebody was saying that we weren't seeing them during the shutdown, but just saw contrails during the shutdown. So there went that conspiracy theory.
Well, you see contrails, but not chemtrails. So, there is a difference.
Yeah, all right. Well, hey, thanks for calling in. David, I've also been thinking, Ken, thanks for the call. I've also been thinking, we got to play a little music here to go with this one. Let me see if I could. We got to hit you like a hurricane here. A little Luke Combs in the background here. So maybe I'll play a little Luke Combs while I share this next one with us here. All right.
I always love it when you do that, Aaron, because now I'm going to be listening to Luke Combs all day.
Yeah, here we go. I'm going to try to time it so I can wait for the chorus to come up here. But Europe's Green Economic Suicide Pact here. Apparently, because Europe decided to dramatically cut their fossil fuel usage in this moronic war on fossil fuels, as Stephen Moore calls it. Basically, you've got European countries with an economy smaller than the size of the economy in Arkansas. That's the report. That's the point that Stephen Moore is making here. I mean, you want to talk about hitting your economy like a hurricane. Here we go. Yeah, I mean, David, that's the reality. Is like they came in with this climate alarmist rhetoric. They adopted this green economic suicide pact, and it has hit their economies like a hurricane.
That's hilarious, Aaron. And that Democrat policies, left-wing policies, they always hit economies like a hurricane. They always hit the well-being of the population like a hurricane. They always hit the poorest of the poor like a hurricane. One of the favorite things I like to do, Aaron, to really bring this point home is I bring up GDP per capita in some of these countries. Like, for example, in Italy, the GDP per capita in Italy was $40,000 in 2024. GDP per capita is one way of looking at sort of like average income per person type of a thing. It's not exactly that, but it's an economic way of looking at that. So in Italy, in 2024, GDP per capita was $40,000. In the United States, it was $82,000. So the average income in the United States is more than twice that of what it is in Italy. And you could do that to any of these European countries. And then, of course, you see on social media a lot of posts about the AI race and big tech and all that stuff. And a lot of people have pointed out and made the point that Europe cannot compete with the United States AI industry or big tech industry, because they're too poor. They're too poor. They can't pay these software engineers or any of these AI engineers anything even remotely close to what these American companies can pay in the US. So for example, in the US, if you're a really good software engineer or AI engineer, you may be able to get a job at, Google or OpenAI or one of these companies and get paid $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 a year. You get that same job in Europe and you're making $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year. And that's really hampering Europe's ability to compete with the U.S. And it all goes back, Aaron, it all goes back to exactly what you're talking about. Europe did this to itself. They put in these green regulations, this green new scam type stuff. They put in place socialism. They put in place, wealth redistribution. They put in place extreme regulations on the people. All of that stuff, they've done it to themselves, and they're living through poverty because of these left-wing policies, and we've got to avoid it if we can here.
Yeah, and Donald Trump warned them not to let Russia build that pipeline into Europe, and they laughed at him, they mocked him, and then look what happened. They got dependent on Russian energy, Russia invades Ukraine, and now some in Europe just want to keep the war going. They want to keep it going because apparently they see that as being more profitable for their economies than actually, taking the shackles off with these stupid emissions standards and things like that. All right, hold that thought. Back after this.
Fox Sports Update.
It had the feel of March Madness, even if the calendar says December.
Senior defended. Help from Bajon.
was trailing at home against the defending national champions when an ice-cold Isaiah Davis nailed a tray on ESPN to put the Blue Devils in front of the Florida Gators for good. Duke winning 67-66. Meanwhile, in Syracuse, the Orange, they pull off the upset.
He'll throw it the length of the floor, and it is aimed at the catch, put it up, no good. And Syracuse wins 62-60.
The Orange knocking off the 13th-ranked Tennessee Volunteers at the Dome. Elsewhere, top-ranked Purdue beat Rutgers 81-65. Fifth-ranked UConn beat number 21 Kansas. 16th-ranked North Carolina knocked off number 18 Kentucky. Other ranked winners include Michigan State and USC. On the hardwood of the NBA, the Thunder are now 21-1 on the season. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with 38 points for Oklahoma City. They win their 13th straight. They cruise past the Warriors 124-112. Steph Curry did not play for Golden State. The T-Wolves knocked off the Pelicans in overtime, 149-142. Tyrese Maxey with 35. Sixers beat the Wizards 121-102. Celtics beat the Knicks in Boston. Other winners, Toronto and San Antonio. On the ice in the National Hockey League, the Vegas Golden Knights beat the Chicago Blackhawks 4-3 in a shootout. Goalie Carter Hart with the victory for Las Vegas. He was playing in his first game in more than 2 years following his acquittal on sex assault charges. You can listen and follow the Fox Sports podcast at foxsports.com. I'm Frank Lanza.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The Senate has confirmed more than 300 of President Trump's civilian nominees since January. There was even a parliamentary maneuver to confirm some even faster. But Mr. Trump has withdrawn a record number of nominees for a president's first year in office, as he faces a combination of GOP pushback against some picks and vetting issues. The president has withdrawn 57 nominations this year. That's roughly double the 22 nominations he withdrew during the first year of his first administration. President Biden withdrew 29 during his first year. The pace of withdrawals is the highest since at least the Reagan administration. GOP senators say the White House isn't doing its diligence to properly vet nominees, let alone work with senators to see if they could get the votes on the floor. Perhaps the most vivid example was the months-long intra-party drama over Paul Ingrassia's nomination to lead the Office of Special Counsel. Word leaked that Ingrassia made racist remarks in a group chat. Ingrassia withdrew despite telling senators he had no recollection of these alleged chat leaks and did not concede their authenticity. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
What do you mean the espresso song by Sabrina Carpenter isn't about coffee? I half the time I don't even know what the words in these songs are saying, let alone what the words actually mean. I don't know about you guys, when you listen to some music out there, it's like I don't even know what they're saying. And even if I do know the words, I don't know what they're trying to say. I thought it was a song about coffee. I thought it was a song about espresso. All right,
Raymond, the pop star Sabrina Carpenter is beefing with the White House.
The White House released this deportation ad with Carpenter's song Juno running beneath it. Well, Carpenter's now saying, please stop. On X, she wrote, this video is evil and disgusting. Do not involve me or my music to benefit your inhumane agenda. The Trump administration hit back. Laura, the pop star, White House spokesman Abigail Jackson wrote, here's a short and sweet message for Sabrina Carpenter. We won't apologize for deporting dangerous criminals, illegal murderers, rapists, or pedophiles from our country.
And Jackson quoted the singer's song, Manchild, yes, writing, anyone who would defend these sick monsters must be stupid. Or is it slow? That's clever.
Yeah, well, all right, there you go. Yeah, David, I don't know if you were tracking this story about the beef with the White House and Sabrina Carpenter or not, but this is kind of the woke update of the week, because she's calling, you know, ICE taking these murderers and rapists out of the country evil, but yet this is the same woman who defiled an altar in a Catholic church in New York City to film a music video.
Yeah, what my takeaway from that, Aaron, is when she said, you know, your inhumane agenda. And you know what was really inhumane? Was Joe Biden's policy of open borders. That's what's inhumane. Allowing little girls to get raped and trafficked for sex slavery across our border. That's what's inhumane. Going after human traffickers, arresting human traffickers and putting human traffickers in. What's inhumane about that? What is she even talking about?
Yeah, great point. Great point. Only about a minute and a half or so to go here. I got to get your take. You know, we were talking about emission standards, things like that, that's killing the European economy. Democrats tried to do the same here in America. Thankfully, President Trump, the big W of the week this week is Trump reversing these CAFE standards. What's your take on that, David?
Well, I think this may go down as one of the most popular things that Trump has done. I don't know if you remember in the first term when Trump undid Obama era regulations for home appliances like dishwashers, and you know Obama had put in these regulations saying like your dishwashers have to use this tiny amount of water, and you know your toilets have to use this tiny amount of water. And that ended up being one of the most popular things Trump did, was getting rid of that stuff, because it's impacting our daily life. And same with these CAFE standards, which Biden put in a rule that said these car manufacturers, the cars that they manufacture have to average 50 miles to the gallon. I mean, I've got an F-150 that gets like 13 or 14 miles to the gallon. Requiring these manufacturers to have 50 mile per gallon average vehicle fuel efficiency is outrageous. Of course, there's nothing in the Constitution that says that the federal government in Washington, D.C. gets to tell every human being, every citizen in this country, what kind of a vehicle they can and cannot buy, and if they do buy a vehicle, what kind of things it has to have in it. I mean, that is ridiculous. This should have never been in place in the first place.
And it was going to destroy the American auto industry. I've got comments from the Ford CEO next hour. David, thanks for joining us.
Sirius is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage, Sirius. 1 in 10 kids vape, Sirius. Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. And with your help, together we can end hunger. Join the movement at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
KBUL.